Since the beginning of time, man battles questions as to how to survive this crazy world we live in, and only God has the answers to all men's questions. Come travel the roads that leads us to the cross.
Today on Crossroads, we want to discuss the issue of anger that stays unresolved. And I'd like to take us to Psalms 131 to set the tone of where we want to be. And that is, David is saying, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Oh, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." This verse indicates to us that we have been given the God-given ability and understanding to know how to calm and quiet our soul encompassing mind, will, and emotion. So then we realize that anger may be a choice, but an unwise choice in most circumstances. Then, in Proverbs 14:29, it gives us instruction and information that is true that says, "He or she who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he or she who is impulsive exalts folly." Then, following through with the same line, James 1:19 tells us, "My beloved brethren, let every person be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Now, if you notice, the verse starts off with, "My beloved brethren." We realize that we are talking about the capacity to have our anger resolved. We first need to be in the family of God with the resources of who God is through Jesus Christ, guided by the Spirit, be able to be our resource to fall on whenever situations, valid or invalid, arise that promote anger. And then one of the great helps in focusing or redirecting our thinking when we are battling. And you know what? An unbeliever can go and read these words and have an impression on their mind of where they might want to go to try to focus. And that is in Philippians 4:8. So after Philippians telling us some of the issues that we need to bear in mind, and one of those issues is to let our gentleness be known to all people, and be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here is an exhortation as we start off this morning on how to control our anger. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ for peace, understanding, lack of anxiety, and knowing how to make the correct decisions in our thinking. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren," and again, brethren is returning to the family of God, "whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Since there is virtue and there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So there are a lot of different subject matters that we can turn our thinking to when anger wants to come in and control. Ephesians 4:26 and 22 then gives us a command, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Can we really allow anger as a way of dealing with problems? You know, asking many times, why in the world do we choose to respond to hurts and fears of life with anger? Is that the only choice when wrongs or tragedies visit our lives? Or constant frustrations of everyday life that wear us down from head to toe and become the repetitive norm is the only choice we have? We all have valid needs and expectations, and anger can instantly flare as disappointment or even shock overwhelms us. For some, however, anger is a slow burning over time, keeping our hearts troubled. Now, going back to the verse of be angry and sin not, there is a positive side of anger. When God's rights are violated, that is called righteous anger. But when our rights are violated, we play God in demanding justice our way. We cannot duplicate or substitute righteous anger for our own reaction to anger. Our emotional thinking will want, I'll get even, it's payback time, being resentful and full of vengeance, which may start to control us. We may want the infliction of pain on another person because our focus in thought and then action is, I need to get even. Sometimes that anger can backfire on us and we realize we've messed up. And then guilt gets mixed with anger and does double trouble. Now, in Hebrews 14:16, we have some guidance. We are told to pursue peace, and if we don't, we open the door to bitterness. That is a heart problem that damages us, not only emotionally, but even physically. We ignore the command to speak truth with our neighbor, for we are members of one another. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this, many become defiled. What that is basically saying is bitterness is never kept to itself. It permeates the air we breathe. We damage our relationship with others. And there are plenty of examples in the scriptures that show us some of the negative effects that can result. There was the example of Esau, and he indicated that he didn't care for others because of his own selfishness. and he gave up his birthright for just a simple morsel of food. Why would he do that? Because his immediate need was self-serving. Then, sometimes, we want to punish ourselves when we realize what foolish or even mean things we have done or allowed, and anger can turn inward on ourselves. And then we want to punish ourselves. And then we think we have to try harder, do better, but we've not resolved the root of anger. Since we cannot control circumstances in life or change the past, we get offended and we slide that slippery slope into ingratitude and depression, then losing all hope. Anger seldom, if ever, promotes true love, unless it is the righteous anger of God at sin and his love for us caught in anger and sin causes his love to go to any extent to break us free. We have been broken free at the cross of Jesus Christ, and yet we must learn how that has taken place and the beautiful effects that it has given us forever. But the description we're talking about today with the anger is a common day occurrence in millions of lives each day. These circumstances can and may have repercussions on our health, both physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. But God has provided an answer to this departure and our need to return to his command. Here is what he says. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Past tense, it's already been done. Long before you were even born, the Lord knows all. Ephesians 4:29-32 gives us good counsel. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, for building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now remember, we have been given grace unlimited 24/7 in all areas as we choose to appropriate what's already been done. And since that is truth, we are then told, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Redemption always has to do with being brought back and bought back out of the bondage of sin. So let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And how dare we think that as we have been given all forgiveness for our wayward anger, our sin, that we dare turn around and decide that we are greater than God in our decision making and we don't have to forgive another for perhaps their wrongdoing? How dare we? This is one of many passages of truth in the Bible that describes how anger can get resolved through the act and action of forgiveness that can flow through our heart that has truly seen the power of God Almighty completed at his work at the cross, and that now his love can flow from the heart. even if we cannot totally forgive to the one that has harmed us, because, yes, that can take some processing in our thinking, or maybe that one is still active in hurting us, we can go to our Father God in conversation and prayer and give Him our wounded hearts. Oh, Lord, it hurts. I can't believe how this has happened. We've lost control. I never wanted this to be, but I don't know how to fix it. We can express the truth that, yes, we have offended our Father with our acts, attitudes, and actions. We can confess and give Him the whole mess from our hearts without having to be concerned of getting to where He will reject us. He freely hears our hearts and offers full forgiveness. Some people say, I just can't forgive myself and I don't know how God could ever forgive me. If you only knew the mess I had created. Well, He does. He knew it before you even created it. That's because He's God, and that's why He chooses to offer full forgiveness. Then, once we have confessed, expressed our wounded heart, it's up to God as Father to work in all the hearts for restoration. By confessing our need for forgiveness, we clear the road to the cross, where full forgiveness was done and completed as He rose from the dead in victory over death. Anger no longer has the power to hold anyone in the prison of anger, except if you choose to keep that stranglehold on your personality and your thinking. Now, although your restoration can be instant, the one you have chosen to forgive may need time to hear and respond and understand your anger. This can take a few days. Hey, it can take a few years. And there are some who will never take the offer of forgiveness. And you know why? Because they get their identity as being a victim, done wrong. However, you will be free to move on and keep growing in grace as you have reckoned with your Father God. Thank goodness for the heart of God the Father, as life was not supposed to be the way it is today. In the beginning of time, emotions were simply a reflection of the indwelling presence of God in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve were to be spared the experiencing of the effects of what we now know as renegade or runaway emotions. Now, emotions are a great gift from God when used correctly. Emotions are great guidelines, and here are a couple of tips in controlling them for growth in character and many other benefits. Guideline number one, be willing to forgive others as He has already forgiven us for all that offended Him. Guideline two, respond with a grateful heart. This can only be done by the power of the Spirit and the love of the Lord in realizing His great mercy as being the solution source for all types of anger. Guideline number three. This lesson applied frees us from fear and the hurt of anger. They are activated through exercising the character lived by the fruit of the Spirit, as outlined in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Renegade motions do not come from God. They come with the fall. They are a product of our fallen nature, now turned against God and permeated with an exceedingly powerful and evil force called sin. Not only did selfish sin nature turn Adam and Eve's world upside down, but their emotions turned them inside out. Instead of being master over their emotions, they became victim of their emotions. And so powerful are these emotions. Men and women are no longer ruled by heavenly reality, but rather by their emotions, and these in no way enrich or build up a person's life, but will control, blackmail, and even try to destroy new creature in Christ thinking. Now, great Christian workers such as Charles Haddon Spurgeon and Amy Carmichael battled emotion of depression a good portion of their lives. So we need to recognize no one is immune to these insidious emotions turned inward and turned wrong. Nor do we really understand how true godly Christians battle when they know the truth can set us free. But we do know that that is a reality in growing in grace and knowledge, in overcoming the flesh that we were born with. Now, the prophet Jeremiah has some very strong words of God. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? And in Jeremiah 8:22, can there be any true healing in chapter 9 of Jeremiah if the people chose to walk in deceit in how they treated one another? Praise God, He has given us physicians and resources to help overcome in overcoming matters of this world. Sometimes help to balance may come through just a good friend who simply stands by with you when your chemistry is off balance. In Jeremiah 1:5, the word of the Lord speaks to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now, stop and think about getting this assignment. Jeremiah was just a youth and was overwhelmed with a job assignment. What is to be noted that Jeremiah did not have a smooth sailing even when under the personal hand of Father God in his assignment. Now, Jeremiah was not done wrong when all events of his life seemed too much. God told him his initial assignment was to the nations and over kingdoms. Now remember, Jeremiah was a youth, but he was told to root out and pull down and destroy and to throw down, but eventually he was to build and plant. That would be like giving a high schooler the role of ruling a country by a special appointment and then giving a report of all the issues that would arise. But no matter what Jeremiah had declared, he was faithful even when not understanding the process and the particulars of the job. No wonder he was called the weeping prophet. But Father God was with him every step of the way, even to the final outcome.
You have been listening to Crossroads with Janie Ratzlaff. For more resources, go to sharedhearts.org/crossroads.
crossroads.